How we do in actually enforcing the law meant to stop another financial crisis. I'm David Brancaccio in New York in early trading on this Thursday. The Dow is up 204 points, 0.8%. The S&P 500 up 0.5%. Those are record highs this morning. The NASDAQ is up 0.5%. Yeah, seems a bit out of step to some with the trade situation with new U.S. trade tariffs and Chinese countermeasures due to hit on Monday. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right, the trade tensions get more intense, yet my stock indicators generally keep going up. Thoughts?
Well, I think what's happening is there's a real disconnect, and investors saying this is a negotiating tactic. It's going to be transitory. It's going to be temporary. When I'm out there in the field, and I have been, I'm traveling like crazy these days talking to clients, those most affected by these tariffs are saying, listen, this is real. We need to now deal with the fact that we're in a world with more frictions at the border, and we need to reassess where we invest, how we invest, and how we position ourselves for 2019.
I mean, you have Jack Ma, the Alibaba tycoon in China, saying that he's thinking it's not going to go on, the trade tensions, for weeks or months. He thought maybe even 20 years.
That's one of the issues that we're starting to face is these businesses are now making major decisions to their supply chain. Where do I source? Where do I build? How do I build what I build? And how do I deliver? And if I don't make those changes, will I go out of business in the United States? And they're making long-term decisions that will accrue over time. You'll see nothing overnight from this. These are things that are corrosive to growth.
I suppose there's an alternate reading here that maybe President Xi and President Trump come together in a couple of months, shake hands, call it a victory, and China liberalizes a bit of its trade rules.
That would be welcome. That said, companies can't wait that long at this stage of the game. They're already feeling the pain, and they are worried about long-term repercussions, even if there is a moment of kumbaya.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thank you.
Thank you.
And part of our weekend plans is to watch the big auction. Comcast and Fox are battling to take over the European satellite TV broadcaster Sky. Now UK authorities say there will be an auction and Sky will go to the highest bidder this weekend.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Listen to former Congressman Barney Frank, financial paramedic.
You can quote my husband. He said, well, first you guys were the EMTs and then you were the surgeons. And the result was a pretty good one.
10 years into the financial crisis, I'm talking to the pair who pushed through Congress the financial reform law that bears their name, former Senator Chris Dodd and Mr. Frank. Today's Teachable Moment is a civics lesson about the difference between passing a law and actually enforcing the resulting rules. You see, 3 years into Dodd-Frank, that biggest of banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, got caught making a giant set of financial trades that went horribly wrong, apparently, supervised by a J.P. Morgan man in Britain dubbed the London Whale. A whale is what they call a big gambler. Some saw a loophole in Dodd-Frank that needed closing. While the law said banks can't take risky gambles here, risky overseas trading might still be legal. Given that, I asked Barney Frank about how well his law was really being enforced.
But part of the problem is, we did not anticipate losing control of Congress in 2010, because if we'd kept that, there would have been more, we would have funded these things better. They had a bill that was going to exempt the overseas affiliates of American institutions from derivative regulation by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And then in the midst of that, the London Whale surfaced, which was a loss by J.P. Morgan Chase, supposedly the best run bank, of billions and billions of dollars, and they didn't even know how much it was. So the law was not changed. So you're right. They didn't complete the regulatory authority. But the statutory authority for the Commodity Futures Trading Commission to fully supervise those overseas activities hasn't changed.
Now, you've thought about this a lot, Congressman Frank, but I want to get you to address this because you just opened up this important area of inquiry, which is you can write a law, but you got to enforce it. Does Dodd-Frank go far enough to make the regulators really
crack down?
It goes
as far
as
you can. You can't make it.
So is it frustration that you can't make them?
But that's always been the history. Sure. You go back to the banking laws of the 1930s. Yeah. They were like 25 pages long. The rest was totally delegated to Reagan. I can't. You imagine having votes, about 51, 49 votes.
On every little thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't like metaphors in general, but there's one that's very relevant. You can't push on a string. You can. I mean, it's always the case. You can stop people from doing bad things, but I don't know how you could do much more, especially since some of them are necessarily qualitative. I will say this, though, even with the Trump administration, that bill is being administered much better than people might have thought, and the system is being run much more soundly and safely than it was before the bill was passed. And the reason is that the powers are there, and unless you're a pretty irresponsible guy or woman, and you're in charge of an agency, and it has the powers to do something, you're going to be a little worried in the back of your mind that if you vigorously don't use those powers and something goes wrong, you're going to be in trouble. I do think that the Trump people probably are, some of them may be more willing to hold back. But the powers, and by the way, if you look at some of the regulators, Jay Powell, the new head of the Federal Reserve.
Very good.
There's no difference between the way he is administering those powers and the way Janet Yellen did.
Done a good job.
What are you going to say?
Well, Jay Powell, I think, is very good. We're lucky to have him in that job.
Now, there's also the matter of the Trump administration's open hostility to the Consumer Bureau set up under Dodd-Frank. A senior official there quit last month, saying the Bureau is no longer doing enough to supervise the student loan industry. Our discussion about the Consumer Bureau is included in the in-depth Dodd-Frank interview at Marketplace.org. And tomorrow here, I'll ask about the Dodd-Frank law, what it's done or not done to narrow the gap between CEO and worker pay. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.